Hi all, I'm Matteo Croce. I work for Meta as a software engineer, and I'm from the Linux user space team, which work on several Linux user space utilities like systemd, RPM, BPF trace, and a lot of BPF programs. And this is why I worked on BPF tokens, because we make heavy use of containers. And while using BPF containers, we found a problem. The problem is that, well, of course, running most BPF programs requires root privileges, or at least capability cap BPF. I say at least because for some programs, cap BPF is not enough. We also need other capabilities like netadmin, sysadmin, to run the BPF programs. Another problem is that when running inside the user namespace, BPF doesn't work, it just ignored, so you can't run programs inside the container. And another big problem is that cap BPF is an all or no, nothing capabilities in the BPF world, which means that if you grant the capabilities to run BPF programs, you can grant every BPF type. We know that BPF programs are very complex. They span from simple BPF programs, which can like monitor CCTL or human interface devices, but there are also other more potentially dangerous program types, like one used for tracing, which can inspect the system calls, or even they can inspect and mangle the network traffic. If you load an XDP program, you can see and change every packet. So that was another problem. What happened if you try to run BPF in the container? If you try to run create a user namespace with the systemd API, let's say, and you try to grant the cap BPF to the container, even if the capability is there, when you try to load the program, it doesn't work, you get a denial. So, the solution, BPF token. BPF token were merged in Linux kernel 6.9, so we are talking about something which is already available, already in place, which is nice. And basically, BPF tokens provide a mechanism to grant cap BPF to processes running inside the container, so you can finally set cap BPF inside the container. And even more, you can grant a finer grained permission. For example, you can allow specific program types, specific attachment points, even map types. You can choose which map type to use. And so this is good. And as a security, from the security point of view, token have no functionality when used outside their context, which is the user namespace and the BPF file system mount point. We will talk about the BPF file system, just a high level overview, because this is how this is used by the low level API to create a token. We know BPF file system is a virtual file system mounted in sys, and it's a place where it's possible to pin objects, program maps, so they survive the process lifetime. It's like a storage for BPF objects, and obviously it doesn't persist the reboot, just in memory. And the objects are rendered at file paths. You can inspect your BPF file system with like any Linux file system, just with browsing the content. Okay, and how to obtain a BPF token? We talked about the BPF file system, because to create a token, you need to mount the BPF file system with some mount options. There are four delegate options, which delegate mount option for the BPFS system, which specify what you can run with the within that namespace. The commands are delegate commands, which allows you to choose the BPF commands, same for map types and program types and attachment points. You can choose the exact command maps, program types, and attachment points you want to use in your container. And this is just the low-level API. Argument of the mount option are defined in the kernel header. There are some enum with the values, and you pass the name of this enum to the file system mount option. For example, if you want to allow a container to do map create, prog load, and prog attach, we set the delegate commands to map create, prog load, prog attach. And there are a lot of configuration options. This is, for example, these are the values allowed for BPF command. These are the value for the map type, and these are the value for attachment type. So you can choose exactly what you want to allow. And before going forward, I have to explain how the new FS mount API works. Traditionally, we use it to mount the file system with the mount syscall. When, for example, when you mount a TMPFS, you have the device, which is an empty string in this case. We have the destination directory, the file system type, and the file system options. This is a single syscall which does everything and mounts the file system at once. Now we have a new API to mount file system where the mount process is split in several steps. Specifically, there is a fsopen syscall which creates a file system context, just like a new, instantiate the driver. Then we call several fsconfig syscalls to define, to set the mount options, one for every option. For in this example, we set sites and mod in two different syscalls. Then fsmount mount the file system, but the file system is not accessible anywhere. It's just somewhere in the kernel, not accessible from the user, until you do move mount, which attaches the file system to the destination directory, and then it becomes browsable from and accessible from the user. How to obtain a BPF token? To obtain the BPF token, the BPF file system have to be mounted with this new file system API, but with a specific procedure, which means that some syscalls must be run inside the container, and some syscall needs to be run outside as root in the init namespace. Specifically, the share creates the container, and then the fsopen is to be run inside the user namespace. The fsconfig must be run as root user, and the fsmount and movemount must be run inside the user namespace. This is a fairly complex procedure because the file descriptor of the file system must be passed from user to root from user with the Unix SCM writes socket passing. So we agree that this is not the friendliest interface, as someone pointed it into the Linux LWN article. So this is how we solve the problem in systemd. I wanted to make BPF tokens easily accessible for the end user. So this is why I started working on this feature, and what I achieved so far. It was merged in systemd 258, so it will be soon in your preferred distro. It's fully configurable for systemd unit files, which means that if you have a service running inside the systemd sandbox, you can just edit your etc system or whatever dot service and set the configuration option for the BPF tokens and daemon reload whatever, and that will work out of the box. This hides all the BPFS mount complexity. You don't have to care because systemd is doing everything transparently. And since because of the way systemd creates the sandbox with the namespace and share and whatever, it was difficult for an user to hook the unshare and the FS mount API calls inside the container creation. So this is integrated in systemd. You don't have to care about anything. And yes, we are satisfied with this. And we will support future BPF features, which means that maybe in the future, new program types, new map types, new attachment points will be developed. We don't care. It will work. They will work also in the future. So how does it work in practice for the user? I added the new configuration options, which is private BPF. But at the moment, it's a Boolean. Private BPF, no, old behavior. You just use the old BPF file system. Private BPF, yes. The units get a new instance of BPF file system, so a new mount point without the object from the root file system and a fresh separate mount. And this requires another option, which is was recently added, which is delegate namespace set to mount, just a prerequisite. And finally, the delegate mount options. I exposed the mount options into systemd configuration. So delegate commands become BPF delegate commands in camel case, delegate maps, delegate progs, delegate attaches. Just simple. And the same for the values. The value from the enum, map create, progload, whatever, they are translated into a systemd camel case style, so it's easy to find the correct syntax. But anyway, this is documented in the documentation. And you can set inside your unit file in your service. You have to set private BPF, yes, and then you create a comma separated list of, for example, commands. In this case, I enable map create, proglog, the BPF prog attach. Every command supports the wildcard any special value, which allows any type of this kind. In this example, I'm enabling BPF programs socket filter and XDP. And also, you can limit the attachments, the attach point. In this case, the C group ingress. Note that this is not a valid combination, but just for to explain how the syntax works. And just an addition: to make this future proof, the configuration options are created at compile time with a Python script from the kernel header. They are translated into C code. And also into documentation. The documentation you see on freedesktop.org is generated at compile time. So if next year you will have different, more program types, you just need to refresh your kernel header, rebuild the systemd even with the same source, and it will be regenerated with the new options. So let's see how it works. This is a run without BPF token, as I showed before. We are trying to grant cap BPF, but the program exit with an EPERM error. And now we are setting the delegate options. In this case, I am setting private users, yes, for the namespace, private mount, delegate namespace, and private BPF, yes, so we have a private BPF mount. And I'm setting some commands to map create, maps to type array, whatever. And so in this command, I'm just getting a shell. And I want to show you that if we run systemd run with this command, these arguments, we get a BPF file system mount with the delegate commands, the map create, map lookup, and the same for maps, progs, and delegate. They are automatic. The systemd will use the FS open API to mount the BPF system and set the mount option. And when you try to run a program, for example, this is the same run with the systemd run, I setting some options, and I running a command named sysctl monitor. This is just a tool I wrote time ago to monitor the sysctl usage, used just for the demo. And in this case, we see that the program starts and works fine within the container with capability BPF. You may ask what BPF capabilities your program needs to have. So as a bonus tool, I have this tool still in beta phase, which is named the BPF. The name is just temporary. It's BPF Kappa Calc. Basically, you give the tool a program, and with it will start spawn the program with all capabilities, and then starts removing capabilities until it works with a minimum set. So in this case, for this program, it will calculate that this program only needs map create, type maps, ring buffer, program the attach points, and the two attach points. So that could be useful to calculate, to give your program the minimum set of requirements. And there are some references if you want to dig deeper into this. There is an LWN article on BPF token. Beware that this article was written before the systemd token implementation, so it only talks about the kernel low-level API, and not only. The article is based on a first implementation of the kernel API, so it's not really, it's a bit outdated. For example, it was setting the parameters as a bit mask instead of strings, but minor changes. This is the BPF token PR, if you want to look at the code. This is the tool to calculate the capabilities. And if you want to implement, if you want to create a BPF token inside your application, you will need to write this in programmatically in C or other languages. The easiest way, instead of looking at the PR, which can be big because the code is scattered across a lot of files, in the Linux kernel tree, if you go to the tool testing self-test BPF, there is a program which I use as a reference, which just works. This is just, and if you want to a simple program to exercise to run just for a demo, this is the sysctl monitor program. And if you have any questions,
yes, questions. Any question? We have 5 minutes for questions. I can ask a question. So this tool to check what capabilities a program needs, it sounds very useful. Can we get that in the systemd tree under the tools maybe or something when it's ready?
Yes. At the moment, it's just a brute force. It starts with all the capabilities and starts removing its bit, but it only takes 40 seconds usually. So it's a brute force, but it's not so slow.
Because that's one of the main problems when you're doing sandboxing, right? Figuring out exactly what your program needs. So it's a very good idea that you had to prepare that. Any other question? Yes.
So the tool assumes that the program exercises all the capabilities required very quickly, right? Because if it does it after half an hour, then this brute force approach wouldn't work? Or does it run the code? How does it figure out what is needed?
So the question was, if you're trying, that works for a command line tool, but say you have a daemon that runs for 3 hours and only after 3 hours tries the cap, how do you deal with that?
Well, you need to found you need to trigger in the daemon the load of a BPF program. For example, in systemd network D, I added some code which loads the BPF program to trace the sysctl. You need to trigger the BPF program load inside the daemon, and my tool is a timeout of some seconds. You can extend the timeout. It's not a perfect solution, but the other solution was to manually read the code and find the program types and map types used.
Any other question? Yes.
For the last night, what's the BPF calc cap? What does it do?
It's the tool to calculate the minimum set of capabilities. This was where we were talking before about calculating what you, the minimum set of capabilities, instead of granting all and forgetting, because sometimes you forget to, you grant more capability than necessary, so.
That's a very useful tool.
Yes, it's my latest addition to the.
Any other question? I've got a couple more minutes. Yes.
Why does that tool brute force? Why doesn't it use like this thing called BPF to figure out which capabilities are actually requested?
Because I wrote the tool 2 days ago. I wanted to find. I was making the slides and I didn't know how what capabilities my tool is using. So I started to do it manually, but there are really a lot of capabilities. For example, for program times, there are 58. And I found that writing a tool was faster. Brute force was.
But why can't you use BPF for this, right? Like you just hook into the capability.
Into the verifier, maybe. Yes, maybe it's possible.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like a perfect thing for BPF.
Yes.
You should try BPF one day.
Yes.
Any other question? Yes.
Looking at the configuration, I was wondering if I would be able to remember the capitalization of those options, even if I use them regularly, and I think that the answer is no. This seems, well, not pretty. Is there a plan to somehow make this naming nicer, more human friendly?
Well, this is just translated from the enum. There is here. The rule was just BPF in uppercase and then the letter after the underscore uppercase. So
maybe sorry, but given this is auto-generated, could we maybe generate the case insensitive parser so you accept the lower case?
This is acceptable
too?
As for a systemd interface, yes. This is auto-generated.
Yeah.
How long did it take to merge it?
I can remember some months, three.
Any other question? We have 2 minutes. Going once, going twice. Well, that's on there. Thank you, Matteo.